Welcome back, everybody, to Minyomi. Today we're at the Daf Kuf Nun Zayin, and we are going to finish Masecha Shabbos. Unbelievable. Mazel tov to everybody who participated, and let's get started. So we are in the middle of a discussion as to who we hold like in general when it comes to Mukta. Two things need to be prepared before Shabbos in order to use them on Shabbos. We had Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon. We had three different Shitos in three different directions. Three people versus three people, some saying like Rabbi Yehuda, some saying like Rabbi Shimon, and we're trying to bring proofs either way. So comes the Gemara and brings the proof that we are up to. Toshma, come in here, a proof, ein mashkin, vishochaten es hamidbarios. So you're not allowed to water and slaughter different animals that are meant to be in the midbar, since they're not prepared for consumption on you. But you are allowed to slaughter domesticated animals, and you're allowed to water them as well. This seems to follow the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. It seems to be a stam mishnah, and we seem to have the shita of Rabbi Yochanan that says that we always follow a stam mishnah. So how can Rabbi Yochanan say that we're going to hold like Rabbi Shimon if there seems to be a stam mishnah going like Rabbi Yehuda? So answer the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan stam machrina ashkach. Rabbi Yochanan found another stam mishnah, another anonymous mishnah, which seems to support Rabbi Shimon's view, which says Beishamai says ma'bein me. Now you're allowed to remove bones and husks from the table on Shabbos by your hand. Beis Hillel, Rabbi Beis Hillel says this is the Mishnah we mentioned earlier in the Masechta, just about 13 daf ago. And Beis Hillel says Misalik is a tavel kulam inara, that you must take the entire table and shake it clean, and you're not allowed to touch the bones and stuff directly because it's going to be a mukta issue. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said about this Mishnah, Anu ein lanu ella Beis Shammai k'Rabbi Yehuda, Beis Hillel k'Rabbi Shimon, that we have flipped the shitos, and Beis Shammai is really holding like Rabbi Yehuda, and Beis Hillel is holding like Rabbi Shimon, and we know that we always hold like Beis Hillel, and therefore the halacha would go like Rabbi Shimon. Now comes Gemara and tells us this was not the only place that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argued. They actually argued about a lot of different things throughout the Masechta, like Melacha Shein Tzricha, like Gufa, Davar Shein Miskavin, and other things. But now we're going to discuss more of the general Mukta. So it says the Gemara, Pligi Bar Rav Acha v'Ravina. There's a machlokes between Rav Acha and Ravina. Chara Mar B'chol HaShabbos Kuh Alecha K'Rabbi Shimon. One says that in all of Hilchos Shabbos, Malacha follows Rabbi Shimon, Levar mi Mukta Machmas Mias, except for when it comes to Mukta Machmas Mias, where the law would follow Rabbi Yehuda. My new, and what's an example of this? Ner Yashan, an old candle. An old candle is a situation where something is Mukta because it's gross, it's not usable in that situation, and that's where we would hold like Rabbi Yehuda. V'chadam, or the other sheet, says Mukta Machmas Mias, Nami Alacha K'Rabbi Shimon. By that type of Mukta, we also hold like Rabbi Shimon, Levar mi Mukta Machmas Isser. The only time we would hold like Rabbi Yehuda is by Mukta Machmas Isser. Umayni, what's this referring to? Nirshidliku baba osa Shabbos. That if they have a flame, a candle, which was lit on Shabbos in the beginning of Shabbos, and then it went out and was extinguished, so over there you're not going to be allowed to pick it up because that's mukta machmas iser. It was mukta. It was set aside for something which is usher in use, and therefore it's not going to be allowed to use for full Shabbos. Aval mukta machmas chesur kis. But in regards to something which is mukta for fear of monetary loss, afilu Rabbi Shimon mode. Even Rabbi Shimon agrees that it should be strict. Ditnam, because we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Shabbos, our Mishnah says, "Kol akim li tal mishabbos chutz mi masar hagadol v'yasei chamacharesha." That all utensils are got to be taken on Shabbos, except for these large ones, which are not used for other purposes because maybe they're going to become damaged and we're afraid they're going to break. And over there, even Rabbi Shimon seems to agree that that would be the case. Fine. So that's how we conclude. This seems to be the end of that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon discussion in this Masechta. Now the next and last Mishnah of the Masechta says, "Mefir nedar mishabbos, you are allowed to annul vows on Shabbos." So this is what the Torah tells us. This is referring to a husband annulling the vows of his wife, or a father annulling the vows of his daughter. If a person takes a neder, so they're legally bound to that, but a husband or a father can go and annul the vows of his wife or his daughter within 24 hours of hearing them. So we're going to have to discuss what this means within 24 hours. That may ace la'ace. Is that a 24-hour period, or is that just the end of the day? So you're allowed to go and annul these vows on Shabbos. V'nishal in l'nedarim she'in l'tzorach ha'Shabbos. And you're allowed to go and do hataras nedarim to get like a based in to get rid of your neder. You're allowed to do these for things that are for tzorach Shabbos, necessary for Shabbos, which seems to imply that for things that are not necessary for Shabbos, you can't. So the Gemara is going to discuss that. Pokenes ha-ma'or, and you're allowed to temporarily shutter a window on Shabbos. This is a throwback to something we discussed on Daf Kuf Chaf Hey. So it takes a stand over there that you are allowed to go and temporarily shutter this window. Umodidines ha-machlis, and you're allowed to measure a rag to determine whether it's something which is enough to generate tumah or not. Umodidines ha-mikvah, when you're allowed to measure a mikvah to determine whether it is the proper size lahalacha. These things seem to be allowed because these are mitzvah-related measurements. Umaisa bimei aviv shal Rabbi Tzadok bimei Abba Shaul ben Batnis. And there was an incident in the days of Rabbi Tzadok's father and in the days of Abba Shaul ben Batnis. Shabaku es amar batafiach, where they shuttered the window with some sort of flask, some sort of earthenware flask. V'kashu es hamakeda begemi, and they tied an earthenware vessel with a strand of this reed grass. Leida im yesh bagigis poseach tefach im lav, in order to determine whether or not there was a tefach amounts of opening in a certain type of barrel. And from there we learned that you are allowed to shutter, measure, and tie on Shabbos. So we're going to discuss all of this in the Gemara. First starts the Gemara. By the way, we have a question. Hafara bein letorech uvein shelo letorech. If you look back at the Mishnah just says that you're allowed to be mafir neder on Shabbos to do hafaras nedarim, that the husband or the father can go and annul the vow. But when it comes to hataras nedarim, that's only going to be allowed letorech Shabbos. So says the Gemara. So when it says hafara bein letorech uvein shelo letorech, this seems to imply that it would work whether it's letorech Shabbos, whether it's not letorech Shabbos. But when it comes to hataras nedarim, it would only work if it's letorech Shabbos, but not letorech Shabbos. And it's because of this that the Mishnah separated one halacha for hafaras nedarim, one halacha for hataras nedarim. Odilma, or is the Mishnah really trying to say the following? Hafara nami l'torach in cholo l'torach lo, that when it comes to hafaras nedarim, only if it's something which is necessary for Shabbos can you go and annul the vow, otherwise you can't. So if that's the case, then why did the Mishnah separate these two halachos? Why did it do this? Mishum da hafara in tzarech beistin, because annulment does not require a beistin, she'ela tzricha beistin, and she'ela hataras nedarim does need a beis din, so that's why it was separated, but nothing to do with whether it's relevant to Shabbos. You're only allowed to do things which are needed for Shabbos, and you're not allowed to do things which are not needed for Shabbos. So comes the Gemara, which one is it? Tashma, coming here, proof. You're only allowed to do hafaras nedarim if it's necessary for Shabbos. Only if it's necessary for Shabbos can you do it, but if it's not necessary for Shabbos, then you can't. Lishnachrina, another version to this whole discussion, which seems to bring up another factor as the key factor. We have a question. Do we say that the Mishnah is limiting case of saying that it's letzorech? Is that going on both hafara and hatara? And if it's not for the purpose of Shabbos, then it would not be allowed. Alma, what this would mean is that hafaras nedarim me'is la'is, that hafaras nedarim goes me'is la'is. We said that the husband or the father has the end of the day to go ahead and annul this vow. So the question is, what does it mean the end of the day? Is it the end of the halachic day, or is it 24 hours? Because if it's the end of the halachic day, then the only time you'd be allowed to do this, if it was on Shabbos, is on Shabbos. So then you'd have to do it on Shabbos. But if we say that you have more time outside of Shabbos, then you can go and do it outside of Shabbos, and it's not going to be a problem. So this is the question of, how long does hafaras nedarim last? O Dilma, or do we say kikatani l'torach, that when the Mishnah says it has to be necessary for Shabbos, asha'ilu hudiktani, that's only going on hataras nedarim. Aval hafaras nedarim, when it comes to annulling the vow, afilu shelo l'torach, even if it's not necessary for Shabbos, you could still do it, which would teach us, ama hafaras nedarim kol hayom, that you only have the rest of the halachic day, and since you can't do it after Shabbos, you would have to do it on Shabbos. So tashma, which one is it? Tani rav zute debeir rav papi, hafir nedarim b'shabbos l'torach Shabbos, that you're only allowed to annul vows on Shabbos if they're necessary for Shabbos. What this seems to teach us again is l'torach haShabbos in shelo l'torach haShabbos lo, that it would only apply if it's necessary for Shabbos, which teaches us alma hafaras nedarim me'is la'is, that annulment of vows goes from 24-hour time periods and not from the end of the halachic day. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Avashi v'ha nantanam, but this seems to go against a different idea, a different Mishnah that we have in Nedarim. We have a Mishnah that says hafaras nedarim kol hayom, that hafaras nedarim lasts the entire day. V'yish b'davar lahakil lahakmer, and there's part of this that is a kula and part of this that is a chumra. Ketza, what does this mean? Nadra leli Shabbos, if she made a vow on Shabbos on Friday night, mefir leli Shabbos v'yom haShabbos ad shetechshach, then you have the entire night and day to go ahead and annul the vow because you have the entire Shabbos. But nadra im chashecha, but if you made this vow once it has already been Shabbos, like on Motzei Shabbos, very close to the official end of Shabbos. So if you did the neder then mefir ad shelo techshach, you must annul it before dark. Sheim lo hefer, because if you had not annulled it by then, mishach hashecha enu yachol hafer. Once it's already dark, then you're not able to go and annul it anymore. So we see that you need to have just the end of the day. It's not me'is leis, it's not a 24-hour period. Rather, it's just the end of the halachic day. So we have a brisa saying one thing, a mishnah saying another. Which one is it? How long does hafaras nedarim last? So answers the Gemara, no, tanai, he really, it's a machlokas tanai. The tanai, because it was told in a brisa, hafaras nedarim kol hayom, that hafaras nedarim could be done all day. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon amru, me'is leis. So this is really the machlokas of the Tanakama versus Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who hold that it could be me'is leis. Then the mishnah is having a shalom nedarim, that you're allowed to go and do hataras nedarim. When the mishnah says that you're allowed to do hataras nedarim for stuff that's Shabbos necessary, is that only when you had no opportunity to do so before Shabbos? So don't mafi lahayol panai, or even if you did have chance to do it before Shabbos and you chose not to, then it would be good. So tashma, coming to your proof, is that kiku le rabbanon le rav zutra berei de rav zera v'sharu le nidre, that the rabbis once involved themselves with rav zutra, the son of rav zera, and released him. They did hataras nedarim on Shabbos. Gav agav davale panai, and even though he had time to do it before Shabbos, they still allowed him to go ahead and do it on Shabbos. The Mishnah continues, shabaku that there was a story where they shuttered the window with an earthenware flask, and they tied this vessel with a strand of reed grass. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Hilkati Kitana Haisa Bein Shnei Abatim. There was a narrow alley between two houses. V'tum Haisa Sham. There was a Tumas Mace there. There was a dead body that was there in the alley. V'gigis Seduka Munachas Al Gaban. And a cracked barrel rested on these two houses that was sheltering over this dead body. V'fakku Esama Or B'tafiyach. And before the person died, they shuttered the window of the house with some sort of earthenware flask to make sure that when there would be a death, no Tumma would enter the house. V'kashru Eshamakeda Begemi. Then they tied an earthenware vessel measuring a tefach amount of reed grass would need to be in order to go and measure how big this hole was in this earthenware vessel. To determine whether or not there was a tefach opening in the barrel or not, to see whether the tumah would be able to escape. So they had to measure this to see whether it's going to escape, whether tumas ohel is going to apply. And that's where this was used, and that's where they learned out all these lessons. Then the Mishnah said to me, Devrei Mamad Shepokim Odim Mekosher Meshavis. And from their words, we learned that you're allowed to shutter, measure, and tie on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Ula Ikla Lebe Reish Gelusa. So Ula was going to the house of the Reish Gelusa. Chazi L'Rabba Barav Huna, De Yosef Ba'avna Demayev Kamashachle. He was sitting in a tub of water on Shabbos, and he was measuring it. Amar Lei, so Ula said to him, Emar Damri Rabbanan, when did the Rabbanan say that you're allowed to measure Medida de Mitzvah? That's only if you're measuring for the purposes of a mitzvah, but the Rav Mitzvah, me, Amar, are you allowed to do it if it's not for the purpose of a mitzvah? Amar Lei, Mis Asik Yamana, no, I'm just trying to keep myself busy, but I'm not actually measuring for any purpose, and that's why it's going to be okay. Hadron Alch Mishayichshich Uslikala Mesecha Shabbos, Mazel Tov. This is Daf Kuf Nun Zayin. 157, the end of Masecha Shabbos. Everyone should have a wonderful day. Tremendous accomplishment. Everyone should continue to accomplish great things. Thank you all so much for everything. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.